All right, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
This is the Father's house.
Yes,
this is not the hog pen. And we know the difference, praise God. There is peace in the house.
Amen.
Joy in the house.
Amen.
Salvation in the house.
Amen.
Prosperity in the house.
Yes.
Healing in the house.
Yes.
Everything you need is in the house.
Yes.
Everything you want is in the house.
Yes.
If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. We thank you, God, for the presence of the Lord we feel here this morning. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us a spirit of wisdom, not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority to believer in Jesus' name. Glory to God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Sister Mary, what's the thermostat set on this morning?
What now?
What's the thermostat set on this morning?
We had turned it up.
70.
I
think it's 72. Praise the Lord.
Gwen, not 72. 72, Gwen. Put it on 72.
It is 72. I looked at it. It's set on 72.
It was 72.
Yeah.
It was 72. It's not 72 anymore.
Well, it was 66. They had it set on 66 last night.
They did, and it was so cold.
We were all freezing. There was icicles hanging off of us.
And this brave man went up and turned it up.
Lord help.
And you know, Sister Becky came right behind him.
Because
she
had
hot eating. She's a lot better. I mean, we were freezing. I put my coat back on. I put my scarf. And I left my hat.
It was warmer outside than it was in here.
I was living out. How about you?
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm down here, not up there. See, I'd seen enough of that. All right, praise the Lord. Let's go back to the book of Ruth, and we ought to be able to finish this up. We're on the fourth chapter. We got really one more verse left, basically, and then the rest of the verses at the end of the book are just genealogies. But chapter 4, verse 17. This is an important verse. Her neighbor said, this is Naomi's neighbors now, a son is born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, we've talked about this. This whole transaction is just is a complete mystery to us. Mm-hmm. And it has to be a type and shadow of something else. We've been talking about the fact that Boaz is a type of Christ, and he certainly is a type of Christ as far as it relates to the church. But here we've got another type and shadow. I believe that Obed is also a type and shadow of Christ for the Jews, for the Jewish state, for Israel. So you've got two types and shadows here, it seems to me, because the only way that Naomi is ever going to be able to stay on her land, or it's not her land, I keep saying that, but it's not. The only way she's ever going to be able to stay on her husband's land is through a relative like this, through a son. And this son is going to anchor her to the land of her husband, okay? It's the only way that Naomi's ever going to be able to hold it. She can't inherit it. She is never going to inherit it. Never, never, never going to inherit Elimelech's land. Never. The only way she can ever be on it is through her son. And this is a foster son. It's a foster grandson, actually, is what it is. Ordinarily, Obed would be considered a son of Ruth and Mahlon. But because of this strange relationship they did here, it's very strange. Obed is considered to be a son of Naomi and Elimelech. This is very strange. So the name Obed means a servant. That's what it means. Now, of course, we know that Jesus was called the servant, in the book of Isaiah, the suffering servant. He is called the servant, and he came here to serve, not to be served. Yeah. He is the one, he is the only one that's going to be able to anchor Israel to the land. Israel cannot hold the land, cannot settle on the land, cannot live on the land, cannot claim the land, cannot claim Jerusalem, can't live in Jerusalem, can't hold Jerusalem, except through Christ. Yeah. Must be through Christ. And only once they accept Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ, they can't do it. Jerusalem, we've heard in the last week that there's been a big blow up about the fact that President Trump has recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel for whatever that's worth. I don't know if it's worth anything. I don't think it's worth. It has no prophetic significance, okay? There's a whole lot of talk on the internet about a whole bunch of prophecy being fulfilled. Pastor asked me last night if there was any prophecy being fulfilled in that, and I said, no, there is no prophecy being fulfilled. It didn't fulfill any prophecy when he declared Jerusalem to be, as far as the United States is concerned at least, the capital of Israel. It's basically a symbolic gesture anyway, but there's a lot of talk about that. You can just let that go in one ear and out the other, because nothing's happening over there. Nothing's happening of any biblical consequence. Nothing happened. Okay.
They seem to think so.
They seem to think so. That is correct.
I mean, they say it's a prophecy.
I know. Of course, I would like for somebody to point out one single solitary prophecy that it fulfilled. And there isn't one. They can't point to one because there isn't one. So, there you go. So, Jerusalem must be destroyed.
Yes.
Jerusalem will be destroyed. There's your prophecy. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed.
Yes.
Israel will be cast off the land. They will lose the land again. That's prophecy. And it's because that they have not yet accepted the servant as their Savior. That is the reason. They cannot hold the land without him. It's impossible. And there are definite prophecies that say when that Israel is going to that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Daniel 9:26 for one. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And under the end of the war, desolations are determined. There's your prophecy. It's going to be destroyed. And Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon a stone. There's your prophecy. Jerusalem will be destroyed. Some folks say, well, that's happened. No, it has never happened. First of all, Jerusalem was never destroyed in such a manner. And in the second place, even if it had been, it would not have fulfilled prophecy because it didn't happen during the 70 weeks. How in the world can anything that happened in 70 AD fulfill anything that was prophesied to happen during the 70 weeks when the clock stopped in 32 AD when Jesus was crucified and on the day of Pentecost? And it hasn't ticked a tock since, okay? The clock hasn't ticked a tock since Pentecost in 32 AD. So in 70 AD, nothing of any prophetical significance took place.
So when will it start again? We know the answer.
We know the answer.
If you're a Revelation student.
If you're an end time student.
But some of them are not Revelation students, so when will it start?
The rapture is going to start it. It would seem that the rapture will start it again because the rapture is just Pentecost in reverse. It's Pentecost in reverse.
They will not live on the land till after the rapture.
That is absolutely, they will not be able to live on the land till Jesus sets his feet on this planet to rule and reign for 1,000 years. They will never, 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 never be able to hold that land. After the rapture, the Antichrist is going to destroy the city and the temple. One reason why we know that there's no prophecy being fulfilled today is there's no temple there. And there are only seven years left to run out on the prophecy of the 70 weeks. There is no temple. Okay, so when the Antichrist appears, there will be a temple there. There's no temple. They're not offering sacrifices.
Are they building one now?
No. There's no building going on. If you've heard that, forget that. There's no building going on.
Well, President Trump said he's going to build the embassy there. So
He's talking about moving the U.S. embassy there.
Right.
But that may take years. Yeah, that may take years. And they haven't even started on that yet. But building an embassy is one thing.
That might be it if you sink some building or some...
But that's possible, but there is absolutely nothing going on as far as the temple is concerned. Brother David?
It's kind of interesting to note, though, that, 1917, Balfour, declaration, whatever, and then 67, then we're capturing Jerusalem, but on 50-year cycles... their land is, or people are saying, this is your land. This is your land.
Oh, I know they're saying that. That is true. God has to say it.
But on the Jubilee year, those things are happening. That kind of caught my attention.
Now, the Jubilee, Jesus is, the Jubilee will not happen. The grace dispensation is not a type and shadow of the Jubilee. The year of Jubilee, we haven't seen it. It won't happen until Jesus comes because the year of Jubilee affects the land. The grace dispensation is a Shemitah. It's not a Jubilee. It's a cancellation of debt. Debts were canceled every 7 years, but the land was unaffected. The land wasn't affected until every 50 years when the land reverted to its original owner. That hasn't happened and it won't happen until Jesus sets foot on the planet. Then begins Jubilee, and the 1,000 years will be a great Jubilee when the land returns to its rightful owner, which is Jesus, okay?
Jesus.
That is correct. So this servant Obed is a type and shadow of Jesus who is the only one who can anchor Israel to the land. It's the only one that can do it. We'll go ahead and read down through the rest of these. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Aram. Aram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nachshon. Nachshon begot Salah. And Salah begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot King David. All right, praise the Lord. Now it's interesting also that you've got, we know that Boaz's mother, well, we know, some of us know, we've talked about this before. Let me back up and lay a foundation for that. Who was his mother? Who was Boaz's mother? Rahab. Yeah. Yeah, it says, Nachshon begot Salmon. And that was Rahab's husband. Okay, so Rahab and Salma were married. We know that Rahab lived in Jericho when Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. Rahab's house, and that part, it was built upon the wall, and the only part of the wall that didn't fall was that part which her house was on, because she helped the spies. And they gave her a promise that the Lord would protect her. So she married a prince of Judah. And they had Boaz. And then Boaz begot Obed. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot King David. So you've got Rahab, Boaz, Obed, and Jesse. Four generations of people span 450 years. Paul said that the time of the judges lasted 450 years until King David came. So 450 years is spanned by only four generations of people.
Wow.
And so you get some idea about how long these people were living. They had to have lived long and prospered. And healthy, that's right. Live long and prosper. Do that. There you go, that's it. Yeah, that's it. There you go. Yeah. You Star Trek fans, you know that. You know how that works. Live long and prosper.
I think Seth was Jewish too.
Well, he might be. Leonard Nimoy certainly was. He was the one that actually invented that. That was his own little production. That was his original production. That wasn't even, Gene Roddenberry hadn't even put that in the script. But that was Leonard Spock. He had lived that. And the sign, that's a sheen. The Jewish, the Hebrew letter sheen, which stands for prosperity. And so he initiated that, made it famous.
Wow.
And that was his own invention. He was quite a devout Jewish guy. But anyway, so they lived long and prospered throughout the entire period of the judges, 450 years, only four generations of them. So it's just kind of interesting to keep that in mind. And so this book that we just read took place right at the beginning, or just going into the book of Judges, basically, into the period of the judges.
They were living over 100 years. Back.
They absolutely had to have been living over 100 years. Yes, they had to have been living over 100 years, which was, you know, that's very good. All right, praise the Lord. Such is the book of Ruth. And we just scratched the surface, so I don't mean to suggest that we've mined the depths of this thing. When you need to read that on your own and read it prayerfully and pray over it and let God reveal the truth of the book to you, because there is it's a book of tremendous value, both for Jews and Gentiles and the church. Praise the Lord.
Yes, it is.